A word of prayer together. Father, we come to the second study in the Old Testament looking for Jesus. And we pray that as we compare the scriptures of the Old Testament with the scriptures of the New Testament, we may see in them the fulfillment of a great picture of our Jesus. And that will then fulfill the words of the Word of God, who said that He was slain before the foundation of the world, but manifested at this time into our life. And so, Father, even though the manifestation of Jesus was not the one that we have in the New Testament, we are grateful that through the pictures of the Old Testament, we can see the work of Christ. Help us tonight to see it, to believe it, and to rejoice with a beautiful scripture that you have given us. In Jesus we pray, amen. I want you in every lesson for the evening get three pictures. One is the information, the general information that we will carry on. And then we're going to have the specific information and then the application of the lesson. And what I try to teach in these is that you learn to look for Jesus in the Old Testament. And without forcing the scripture and without saying this means this and this means the other, but seeing how a parallel passage of the New Testament explains something of the Old Testament. And I want to review with you three scriptures that I really love you to memorize. And that will be John chapter 5 in verse 39 as a general information. Somebody may ask, why do we do this? Why do we have to really look upon the scriptures and trying to find Christ in the Old Testament? Here it is, John Gospel chapter 5. In verse 39, Jesus here is answering a particular question about himself, because he was questioned by the Pharisees, by the PhDs of his time, and others. And look at what he says. He tells these people, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they refer to the scriptures, are they which what? Testify of me. He was referring to the Old Testament, to the entire Old Testament. And he said, all the scriptures that you see over there, they testify of me. Another scripture is in the Gospel of Luke. So one gospel before, in chapter 24, in verse 27. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, in verse 27. Now, Jesus gave us additional teaching on the Old Testament in the Gospel of Luke. And God, through Dr. Luke, gave us more detailed explanation of the purpose of the Old Testament. Look at what the scripture says here in verse 27. And this is the time where people were walking from Emmaus, from Jerusalem to Emmaus, two people, and they were not understanding the cross. And then Jesus became their teacher, and verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses. And each time you find something like this, doesn't mean the man Moses, but the writings of Moses, that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Concerning himself. And so that's another proof that the scripture are talking about Jesus. You are in Luke 24, Luke 24, verse 44 now. These people do not understand what Jesus said. Then finally Jesus developed the full explanation in verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written. And now he opens the Old Testament as it is today in the Torah, the law of Moses, and that's the first five books, and in the prophets, That is all the books of prophecy and the Psalms. That's the book, the other books. In the Hebrew Bible, many books are called the book of Psalms. Psalms means writings. And so the entire Bible speaks things concerning me, he said. Now I want to, for your security of mind, I want you to turn your Bible to Hebrews. You really need to know these harmonic of Hebrews 10 and verse 7. These manipulation of the scripture, and manipulation is the wrong word, these descriptions of the scripture that we are authorized by the Lord Jesus to look in the Old Testament for him. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, you will find a remarkable and outstanding statement in verse 7. Now, this really makes a very clear point about the purpose of the Old Testament. Look at here. Then said I, lo, I come, and the King James said, in the volume of the book. And the word book is the word, the scripts, the roll, and the volume of the roll, it is written of me to do thy will of God. And so in the volume of that scroll of the Old Testament, because that's the Greek word used over there, in the volumes of the scroll, it is written of me. And the emphasis that Jesus wanted to make strongly is this, that the scroll is speaking about him. So if you read the Old Testament and you want to study Jewish history, you may learn certain things about Jewish history. If you read the Old Testament and you want to study about trees, you learn about trees because the Old Testament speaks about trees. If you want to study about life, you read it and you learn about life. But the Old Testament was written so that we had a certainty that Jesus was proclaimed. And we need to, when we lose Jesus from the focus of our life, then we have no life whatsoever and no understanding. So the purpose today, and this has to be done very carefully. You cannot say, well, this means this and this means the other. The New Testament has to endorse or remarkably click one-to-one perfectly into the picture and into the harmony. And so now we go into what I will call the specific information about the Lord Jesus. Now, there are a few points on, and Christ's identification is implied. So let's look in Exodus, and I'm going to dwell in one chapter. And of course, you can bring a lot of pictures of Jesus from Exodus, but I'm going to... my favorite picture is Jesus, the Lamb of God, because it's an easy and wonderful and clear passage to describe. So let's dwell in Exodus. In Exodus 12, then, and we can take the first three verses of Exodus 12, and you will see that you get the idea on how God put a shadow of the Lord Jesus into these fantastic picture. The Bible said that verse 1 of Exodus, let me read the whole passage until verse 13, I think I will read, and then you will see it. And the Lord is spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month, it shall be the first month of the year to you. So God changed the calendar, don't we? April 15 became the first year of the calendar. Seven times in the history of the world, the calendar was changed. The calendar that we use today is far from being the real calendar, is the Roman Catholic calendar. But the Lord said April 15, and never change it from there, is the first day of the first month. Verse 2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So April 15 is the first day number one of the new year. Now verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And so the picture is God brings a real picture. You remember a lamb was offered by Abel, And the Bible said in Genesis 4 that his offer was better than Cain. Even though Cain was the best product of the ground, Abel brought the lamb, killed the lamb, and sacrificed the lamb. And now that was for Abel alone. But now it's one lamb for the entire family. You see that? And verse 3 is clear. It's one lamb for the entire family. And let me keep on reading. Verse 4. And if the house calls to be little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of his souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be, and here's the condition, without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord Passover. For, said the Lord, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. See, when God wants to give you a date, he tells you the date. He said, this night, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And that's the passage. Christ's identification is implied. I will pass over you. Now, Christ's identification is materialized. And I want to see you how this lamb that was there is materialized in the Gospel of John. If you move your Bible to John Gospel chapter 1 in verse 29, you will see that years and years pass by and nothing is said about any man who is to be a lamb. But when Jesus came, and before he identified with the disciples, he had an encounter with his cousin, John the Baptist. And they are 6 months apart between one and the other. And John the Baptist said the Bible in verse 29 of John chapter 1, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, what did he say? Amazing. Behold, the Lamb of God. You don't hear that in the book of Matthew and Mark. You don't hear a statement like that about Jesus. You hear it's a king of the line of Judah and so on. But not until John Gospel we find these remarkable words. Jesus is coming unto him. And rather than saying, hi, cousin, how are you? How's everything at home? He said to him, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Now, there were some qualifications that you notice in the book of Exodus. The lamb need to be unblemished, and the lamb need to be this way, and the lamb need to be in this other way. Now Jesus had to fulfill each one of them to the T. And just to give you an overall picture of the fulfillment, if you turn your Bible to First Peter in chapter 1, In verse 18 and 19, God is careful through the pen of Peter to tell us what kind of lamb really Jesus is. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 19, we read, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain lifestyle or conversation received by tradition from your fathers." In other words, your nature was not redeemed by something that nature did. And then verse 19 said, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without a spot. Right to the T on Exodus chapter 12. I said, you should take a lamb, and you should fire the lamb, and the lamb should be in the first year, and should be without spot. In other words, clean. And there is no a person that can be without a spot, a human being, because in the book of Romans, in chapter 5, you're going to get there. I think the Sunday school classes will have a lot of fun on the book of Romans. This is an entire different study than what I did in church before. In Romans 5 and in verse 12, we read, "Wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so therefore, the Bible tells us that there is no a man that can offer himself as a lamb, because he is with a spot, the spot of sin. And how wonderful the Bible described here in the book of Exodus that the lamb to be offered need to have no sin. And then the New Testament, when Jesus come in, that identification is placed upon him. And so it's no doubt that when we see the lamb in the book of Exodus, we see a projection of who the Messiah should be. It should be somebody who is exactly as that particular lamb. Of course, why the Jewish people made a mistake? Number one, they reject the New Testament. Number two, they do not think that a man will be the offering. It still has to be an animal. And so they never went to the cross to find out the projection of God's revelation. And if you take half of the Bible, of course, you have only half of the truth. And if you only have the Old Testament, you just have pictures. You need the New Testament in order to have the reality. Now, we're going to see the identification apply in this particular moment. Christ's identification apply. There is a scripture who says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Until now, we have a picture here, and a picture here, and a picture here, and a picture here. And still, if you have that, you are very close to an ID, but there is no an ID until the Bible said this means this. Then you know that your picture is correct. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 7, and we will have the picture. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and he said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be our new lamp, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ," now look at here, "our Passover is sacrificed for us." Now that tells me the Exodus, the lamb, the Passover, is Christ the Passover. Now, that's the way you synchronize the scripture. One scripture expressed here, and you need a New Testament who click just one-to-one, and the New Testament said, Christ is this. And whatever the New Testament said has to be equal to what the Old Testament picture is. Otherwise, it's you making the picture. And if you and I make the picture, the Catholic Church is the best instrument. They have made pictures of everything, matching or no matching. They have created all kinds of things because they fail to realize that in the typology of the Bible, you need to have the New Testament said, this sin means this. And then you can say the Bible say that. Because of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, I can say without any equivocation that the Lamb of God offered in Exodus chapter 12 is a picture of the Lamb of God in Christ Jesus offered at Calvary's cross. Because right here in verse 7, it says at the end, for even Christ our Passover. So actually, when we partake the Lord's Supper, for example, we are partaking of the Passover in reality. See, we have a picture of the body of the Lamb, and we have a picture of the blood of the Lamb. And so we are doing the New Testament Passover, which is no need of other lamb to be offered on it. It's just to receive it. I listened to a priest, Ricardo, from Miami this morning. He was preaching good. I mean, preaching good. Those charismatics, when they get the Bible, sometimes they get a glance of God's light. And he was preaching good, and has a session in Spanish on matrimony. And he was doing a great, great picture of Christ and the church, and you as a matrimony with the church, and what the wife expected and what the man expected. And I mean, he was really knowing. He was from Cuba. He knew the culture. He was talking to the people and so on. And the whole thing ends, and then now comes the feast of the Mass. And I just listened to see perhaps this man got an idea, because he prayed in the name of Jesus. And I said, wow, let's see. When it came to the Mass, then he said, I'm going to give you Christ. Everything he said before, he erased it with those words, I'm going to give you Christ. And when they give you the bread, they said, the body of Christ to you. And there is a lack in their mind that the pictures, of, when they were taken, the lamb, when they were eating, actually physically eating the lamb, and then sprinkling the blood in the Old Testament, they were actually saying, we are the body of the believers. But in the New Testament, one has done this for all of us, Christ. And that's the difference, that they need to be accepted. And he begged those people, say, you, I know you are Catholic, but you need to be a Christian when you have Christ in your heart. And I said, wow. I said, these guys, they're going to whack him out of the pulpit. But no. But then on the Mass, he erased everything he said, because he lost the picture. See, when we took the Lord's Supper, we do not took Christ. This is a remembrance of what Christ has done for us. And so now then, I want to move your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. You will enjoy this confirmation again of the identification materialized. And right at the end of Hebrews in chapter 13 and in verses 11 and 12. The writer said, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. In other words, they have to be taken out of the city of Jerusalem. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. As you know, he died in Mount Moriah outside Jerusalem. He needed to die outside the gate. And so everything in the Bible pictures, identifies Christ Jesus. He is the offering for our sins. And the good part is that I want you to see as a conclusion, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, because these will help us to understand what I said before, that we have the Lord's Supper as a remembrance and not as really the actual imparting of the body of Christ. If you look in Hebrews 10:10, said, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, how many times? Once for all. So look at the word sanctify, is past, is that right? See, in Roman Catholicism, when they give you the Mass, at that moment you become sanctified. The priest clearly said this morning, I want you to go home with Christ Jesus. And you came in pure, and you're going to be pure out of that door with Christ Jesus, because I'm going to give you Christ Jesus, and you're going to take it and be part of your life. Now, he makes sanctification present then. But here in verse 10 said, by the which will we are sanctified. We are sanctified already. By whom? By the one who died only once. So there is no other Savior. The Savior has come and has died and he's risen again. His name is the Lord Jesus. And in the book of Exodus, he is pictured. And one of the pictures of the book of Exodus is the Lamb of God. And so the Israelites, when Jesus went to Calvary, when he offered himself, when he went through the entire sacrifice on Passover day, the Israelite should look back into the scripture and find that what happened at that moment is a fulfillment of the scripture. But they didn't, because they were, what we talked this morning, they were ignorant of the scripture. You know, approximately, some historians take a little longer, but approximately between Malachi and the New Testament, there is 400 years. Exactly is 432, if you count 1 year that the Egyptians created before there was no number zero, and then the Egyptians later on created the number that you and I use, and they added to the numbers 1 to 9, the other the number zero. But so it's 432 years, and in 432 years, people really have forgotten many, many things, especially the things they learned. And the Bible was there, the scroll was there. Jesus used the scroll, one of the best scrolls from Syria, as he quoted the scriptures, were written in Aramaic, but nobody used it for 400 years. And so you're isolated. Now an event happened, and they lost the picture that that event was the fulfillment of the Passover. Now, do you see it? Does anybody have a question about it? The Passover is just a complete picture of the offering of God, so that when we accept that offering in our heart, then that blood marks us, and God in heaven will see the blood. Like they told the Jewish people, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And when God sees the blood of Christ by faith in our heart, then we will not be judged. So in Roman Catholicism, that blood need to be pressed every Sunday or every day, because some people do the Mass every day, so that you'd have Christ. Because really, if that was the case, that when we have the Lord's Supper, you are taking Christ in the blood, I will have the church open every day. I do, because, you know, you need to have Christ. But, you know, you don't have Christ. There was a picture. Here's the reality. Christ Jesus. And we take it not physically. We take it by faith. By faith. The priest said, Ricardo said, you know, here is Christ. How do you take Christ in your life? You take it right now. In this. Oh, he lost the opportunity. The church was packed, maybe 10,000 people. He could say, how do you take Christ? By faith. He forgot faith. See? And he said, let me give you Christ today. And he got incense and put incense on all the people. And so he got all the ceremonial law of the Old Testament in action. You see, if you misunderstand the symbols, you end up with the wrong conclusion. And if you misuse the symbol, you use the Savior. You don't understand the Savior. The Savior is the spiritual. You and I, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 said that we have a spirit, that we have a body, and we have a soul. And God penetrates in our spirit through his spirit and renew our life. Is there any question tonight before I pray? Anything you want to add to this? Because most of you know what I said tonight, but it's a refreshment again that's the way. Remember 1 Corinthians 5:7, to say the Exodus 12 is talk about Jesus. You need a statement from the Old Testament saying that Jesus is the Passover. Otherwise, will be you creating an interpretation. But for the Bible to be the interpretation, the Bible has to say it. And 1 Corinthians 5:7 said that Christ is the Passover Lamb. So I am authorized by the scripture, not by my imagination, to say what I have to say. So you are protected in that. All right? Any question? Any adding? All right? Maria, you have a question? Oh, no. I thought that you raised your hand. Okay. This is a well-known lesson. Brother Greg? Oh, all right. Okay, let's pray. Father, we're amazed of the coherence of the Bible. We're amazed of the clarity and simplicity when we put the whole thing together. And so, Father, here is, in the Old Testament, the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world, expressed in a common land for the people of Israel. But then when Christ came, the real Lamb was the offering once for all. Thank you, Father, that we understand it. Thank you, Father, that we have claimed to Him as our Savior. And now, Lord, we rejoice and remember in the memorial of His death and resurrection. Help us to explain this over and over and over to our own family, to our own neighbors, to our people. Help us to explain this in church over and over and over so that people may understand that the Savior of the world has come. What is rest is that we need to believe it. Cause us to believe, and we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh.